Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Many demons who are continuously inimical toward you finally achieve the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy not only upon him, but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called All Merciful. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee, but even some demons who were not at all devotees, were merely enemies of the Lord, attained the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus, Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he had been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One more time. Many demons who were continuously inimical toward you finally achieved the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshetarine Vancha Kalpaturupascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna everyone. Oh, many people are older than me here, so I seek your blessings that something come out. I had a meditation when I was in Mayapur a few weeks ago, where I met a god brother, and he said, you know, show me your realizations. And I was like, you know, realizations. And I had this meditation, for some reason, one sannyasi had spoken in Mayapur and reminded me about the story of Sudama Vipra, the Brahmin, who, you know, his wife was, you know, pushing him, go get some help, financial help, and get us out of this poverty-stricken situation. And, you know, although he didn't really want to, he kind of felt like pressurized to do so. And his wife got him these, you know, I think it's broken rice or chipped rice or something that she begged from different areas of the neighborhood. And then off Sudama went, and, you know, he's feeling a bit embarrassed about giving it. But due to the order, he went and finally gave it. And Krishna gave him, you know, this palace and all his wealth back and devotion. So in a similar fashion, I felt in front of him and also in front of all you devotees that I've somehow luckily had a week off work, so I had some time to read some books and acquire some jewels, but they're all loose bits. So I hope as I come to you today to try and share something that you can collect it all and make a diamond from it and award me some wealth. Money's okay, but devotion is more needed. And hopefully the topic that will be highlighting today from Prabhupada's purport, you can also award that to me once we figure out the answers as we go along. So, here Srila Prabhupada, it's a shortish purport, but it's very nice. There's 3 points in there. I'm going to focus just on 2 points. We're coming, I think, towards the end of Bali Maharaj's pastimes in the 8th canto, which starts way at the beginning, chapter 5, 6. And there's a whole fight, and Janakinath Prabhu gave a nice summary on Friday. Yeah, he gave a nice summary of what's going on and where we are now. So here, Prabhupada, in the first line of the purport, writes, Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy not only upon him, but also upon the other demons. And some of these demons attained the same level as the mystic yogis. And he said that, because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is all merciful. So, there's a question that I'd like to pose to all the devotees here, which I'm sure you'll get straight away. Bali Maharaj was able to appreciate Krishna's or Vamanadeva's mercy onto him in the form of this punishment. But what quality is it in Bali Maharaj and the other devotees across our shastras where they come across difficulties? What quality is it within them, in their character, that allows them to appreciate such mercy? We've all had it. We've all had ups and downs in spiritual life, often many downs, and difficulties and struggles. So what quality is it? Any suggestions from the devotees? Jagat, Peter. Humility. Thank you. Anything else? Tolerance. Thank you. Yes. Perseverance. Love. Knowledge. Love. So these are all... yes, Mataji? Conviction that the Lord is all auspicious. Well, very nice. So these are all correct. As with most spiritual answers, they're all correct. But I, when I read this, I was thinking about particularly humility, inspired by Jankinath Prabhu's flowchart and everything of false prestige on Friday, which may eternally be on the back of the board. he was saying that the key to unlock false prestige was humility, and in a similar fashion, our scriptures talk about so many of these. I like perseverance. Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita says these three things: enthusiasm, patience, and determination or perseverance. All of these are correct. But, I think it's it's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that we should wear this Trinadapi Suneche Narves around our neck like a mala, just like everyone, no one really takes their neck beads off. They're always on there. Even though some of my patients ask me, this is just too big, take it off. But we never take this off. So similarly, we should never take this mala of humility and tolerance and respect and perseverance off of our neck. So it's a very powerful quality to have. And we've heard many, many lectures about it. But I wanted to try today to share some of my own personal experiences and realizations in terms of humility. And maybe I myself will listen and try to make progress in the practice of humility. So, just after Kartik, we went to Sachin Anumaraj's Govardhan retreat in Govardhan. And so we went, four of us friends, we went to Vrindavan for the first day to go Loi Bazaar and get all the things done. And so we went to MVT, and one of the devotees coming to Vrindavan with us, it was her first time to Vrindavan, so she wanted to kind of, see the different pastime places. And there's a big enthusiasm when you go to Vrindavan your first time, hopefully every time, but especially your first time, because so much to do, and you've heard so many yatras and classes and stuff. So there was a kind of a mood developing in a group, like, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to go and see this, I want to go and do that, I. And we weren't aware of it. We were just, planning, like, this will make us happy, this will make us happy. And we went to MVT, which was one of the factors of making us happy, and we had a pizza. And off we went to to Govardhan, and we got into the ashram late. We started to take rest, and just before taking rest, I went to the toilet and I just got really ill. I was vomiting violently, and then I got chastised by my wife and my friends, like, you ate too much pizza and blah blah blah. And then an hour later, all three of them were throwing up. Everyone of us were just knockout on the bed, and we just about got 16 rounds done the next day, just about, like, really intensely trying, just falling asleep every second, so intense. And then Jay Krishna Prabhu was with me in my room, and he said, why is this happening, And I was also bewildered, like, God, we just spent all this money, we've just taken time off work, we've come all the way to Govardhan, and we have 5-6 days before Maharaj's retreat starts, what are we going to do? And then in the evening I was reflecting, and I was thinking, in terms of humility, I was thinking, this little, tiny little virus or bacterium in that pizza, you know, tiny invisible thing, which can sometimes taste nice and come in a fancy way. This tiny thing can destroy, I'm not tall, but this extremely, you know, this entire body. And I was thinking how Krishna humbled us to try and teach us a lesson. And because I was in a reflective mood, being in the holy Dham of Govardhan, it came to me that, you know, we shouldn't come here in an enjoying spirit. We should come here in a serving spirit. Kadambakarna Maharaj, who's my spiritual master, he once said, you know, you should go to the spiritual master, or to the holy Dham, or to the holy name, and say, what can I do to serve you? Not what can you do for me? And it's a subtle difference in consciousness, sometimes not so obvious. But this is actually where humility lies, in your consciousness. I've always, over the last 8 years or so, I've always kind of thought, like, how do I become humble? Because I'm not, you know, so it was always a mind-boggling thing, like, how do I become just humble? Is it like folding the hands? Is it, bless you, boom. is it about like folding your hands? Is it about walking slowly, talking slowly? Is it like, you know, wearing dhotis without borders? These are all external things. Yeah, they help, but like how to develop the mood. And about 3 years ago, we went to Radhadesh, and Satchinanda Maharaj gave a japa retreat, and he was basing it on the the 8 verses of Shikshastakam. And then he came to Trinadapi Sunichana on the third day, and he spoke about humility is something hard to intrinsically acquire. With time, obviously, knowledge and experience, it comes. But, you know, with any great thing, there should be some practical steps you can take to achieving it. And he made something that just, you know, went, the light bulb went in my head for me. And he said that if you practice tolerance, which I think Prabhupada said, if you say tolerance? Yeah, if you practice tolerance, then you can actually acquire humility. Now, if we see in the pastimes of Haridas Thakur getting whipped 22 times, he tolerated it, and Mahaprabhu appreciated his humble position due to the tolerance. So, if I just give an example, me, I'm sitting here on a Vyasasan somehow. It's not even April Fool's Day, but anyway, somehow I'm sitting here, and I think they got the days wrong. So I'm sitting here, and it's difficult for me to be humble, but what I can try to do is at least tolerate, you know, the mind which is trying to puff itself up, or to tolerate the onslaught of corrections that I might get later, and to try and tolerate all these things. And if you do, then you actually, the more you tolerate, the more you're putting yourself as a dependent, as opposed to the independent, the person in control. So, and in terms of tolerating here, Bali Maharaj has tolerated so many hardships that have been put upon him because he wanted to stick to his vow of, keep his vow of truthfulness. And so the ability here, he's saying, he's not feeling ashamed or anything. How is it that one can accept that mercy? So here Bali Maharaj very nicely then says, okay, put the third step later. I think it's just finished, but put the third step on my head. So Prabhupada also once said how Krishna's mercy came to him in his life. He said, first Krishna came and he took everything away. It was his job, family, money, his position. Even in some sense, yeah, he lost every aspect of, you know, all his grihastha life that he worked for. But then he said, and then see what Krishna gave me afterwards. You know, in some sense, he got the whole world, you know, in his movement, in his books. Not that he wanted any of this stuff. In a similar fashion, some of our leading preachers today, I don't want to name names, but I was speaking to somebody and we were discussing how some individuals are getting so much recognition, so much honor, so much opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness and connect with different types of crowds, because they actually don't want it at all. And the one who wants it, they can't seem to make a breakthrough, they can't seem to expand their preaching or services. And this all lies within humility. And I read an article by Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and he was saying how the key to surrendering to Krishna, which is the whole process, which is supposed to become surrendered servants of the Lord, or reawaken that constitutional position, is the key to unlocking surrender is humility. Now, we all know in Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given the six stages, progressive stages of Sharanagati. And I just wanted to try and focus on the surrender, as the chapter is called Surrender, his life, and how humility plays a role in that. So the six stages are accepting. Was anyone? Let's make it interactive so we keep everyone awake. What are the six stages of Sharanagati? Accepting things that are favorable for devotional service. Accepting Krishna as one's soul maintainer. Four more. Rejecting those things that are unfavorable for devotional service. Humility. Krishna as your protector. And finally, always expecting Krishna's mercy. Okay. And specifically how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was given, the last one. Surrender, Admin, yeah. Surrendering everything unto Krishna, unto the Lord. So when I was thinking of this, I was reminded of, and during my reading, I was reminding of two pastimes, particularly Draupadi and Sanatana Goswami. So Draupadi, she's the Pandavas and the Kauravas, due to Duryodhana and his tricks with Shishupal, they got everyone to do a gambling match. And Shishupal had, I think it was Shishupal who had, Shakuni, the one in the movies with the weird moustache. Yeah, so Shakuni, he had fixed the dice, so the Kauravas kept winning each bet, and every belonging of the Pandavas was slowly going away and away and away, and Yudhishthir kept gambling everything to try and regain what he had lost, and then ultimately the game had been won. The Pandavas had lost everything, their kingdom, prestige, reputation, everything. And then Duryodhana didn't want to stop there due to greed. And he asked to put on the line Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. And then Yudhishthir unfortunately lost Draupadi as well to the Kauravas. And in further humiliation, which is the opposite of humility, is one who wants to humiliate others. He wanted to humiliate Draupadi by disrobing her in the assembly of all the royal assembly. And so as the story unfolds, Dushasan and Duryodhana, they start trying to disrobe her. And Draupadi understands, she's in a fearful position, just like we are in this material world. When bad things come our way, we become fearful. How should I react? How can I get some strength? How can I overcome this? So we are also, it's not just a story, but we're also in the situation of Draupadi. Maybe not saris for the men, but we're also struggling to defend ourselves. And so she was taking shelter of, I don't remember the order exactly, but Bhishma, the king, which was Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas, the Pandavas, her husbands, and nobody was able to give shelter. Even Bhishma Dev, who was the grandfather, And slowly, slowly, she, you know, kept running around. Well, not slowly, very fastly, she was running around trying to get some help, and she couldn't find it because her ashraya, her shelter, was placed in the wrong position. Then finally, she understood that she's about to lose against, you know, the onslaught of these two demons. So she puts one hand up and she calls out for Krishna. Nothing happens. And then when she comes to this utterly helpless position, this real, true, humble position, where she's only, her only dependence is in Krishna, that's when she puts two hands up and says, "Hey, Govinda." And just then, Krishna appears. You know, like in the, I remember growing up watching the Mahabharata, and Krishna comes on the little screen on the corner, and he's like, and the sari comes out. But Krishna comes. And one thing that I particularly liked, which, again, Kadama Kana Maharaj said in Radhadesh, is in one of the acharyas in his commentary on this pastime in the Bhagavatam says that Krishna's gratefulness and appreciation and indebtedness to Draupadi increases moment by moment as he remembers how Draupadi surrendered unto him, that single-minded, that single-focused surrender. And as we, as practitioners of sadhana bhakti, or myself at least, as we try to chant our rounds, read Srila Prabhupada's books, interact with the Vaishnavas, preach outside, trying to give the mercy of Prabhupada's books to others, and chanting the holy names outside, we should try to again and again realign ourselves to such a foundational principle that if I want to be humble, if I want to surrender to the Lord, I have to become humble. If I want to become if I want to be humble, truly humble, I have to focus my intention on Krishna. And so there's the verse, Anyabhilasita Sunyam Gyana Kadamadi Anavritam Anukulena. So this favorable intention again and again. In Govardhan, Adi Purush Prabhu was giving a seminar on, well, you know, when Sachinanda Maharaj came recently, he spoke about the three hearts and, you know, the three stages of coming to pure devotional service. So doing the service, doing it for Krishna, and doing it in a favorable way. So we should again try to remind ourselves and reconnect to how am I going to do the next very thing in a favorable way to Krishna. It may not have to be in a physical manifestation that we, you know, we always have to, like, you know, okay, put really big tilak on or something like this. But no, it's more the internals, and that's where humility lies, inside. Then in terms of the pastime and life of Sanatana Goswami, this is was inspired to me. There's a book called Trinada Pisunichana by His Holiness Govinda Swami. And he was talking about Sanatana Goswami. This book here is really nice. It talks about, it's actually a lecture, a couple of lectures on Bali Maharaj, funny enough. And he talks about Sanatana Goswami's life. So if we look back at them six stages of Sharanagati, and we see how are they exemplified in Sanatana Goswami. So first, accepting those things that... accepting those things that are favorable for devotional service. So Rupa Goswami had left that emergency money for him and had written this letter in a kind of private code that no one else but him could understand. And he gave him the idea of how to escape the jail. So he used the money in a favorable way. The money became favorable because he bribed a Muslim jailman, a very interesting, clever way. And then shortly after he had escaped jail, and he went off with his servant Ishan, and then they were kept very sweetly by this hotel keeper. Shirada Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitara Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. And when they were at this hotel, the hotel keeper understood that by the astrologer, that the servant had all this money. So that same money, or the same pot, that money became unfavorable. So he actually gave the money away to the hotel keeper who actually said, I was actually going to kill you tonight to get the money. So just to see how money was used, when it was favorable, it was used, and when it was unfavorable, it was given away. A real detachment there. Then the next is about Krishna being your maintainer and protector. So Sanatana Goswami was a government minister for Nawab Hussain Shah. He had a good salary, I imagine, and was a wealthy man. But he gave it all up because he had faith that Krishna would maintain him, whatever needed. The famous example that I like is Srivast Thakur with the three claps, you know. That's, Krishna will maintain him. And then Krishna is the protector. So Sanatana Goswami traveled through these dangerous jungles and Muslim states, but he had that faith that Krishna would protect him, because as one surrenders unto him, Krishna will reward you accordingly. And then about the humility, there's two nice aspects from Sanatana Goswami's life. One is when he was in Jagannath Puri, he didn't want to walk on the road because he was afraid that he may contaminate the Brahmins. So he actually walked across the burning... Sanatana, right? Yeah. He walked through the burning sand, and he burnt his feet just because of his humble position, because he could understand how great the devotees of Krishna are, how great the devotees of Lord Jagannath are. And he felt so low in respect to that, that he thought, I don't want to contaminate them, just because, although he's born in a Brahmin family, because of his service with Nawab Hussain Shah, he felt so, the distance was so great that he actually put himself through misery for it. But it wasn't misery, it was actually joyfully performed. And the other is when him, Rupa and Sanatana went to Mahaprabhu, and they had straw between their teeth, and they offered their respects to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, stop this humility, it's killing me, it's breaking my heart. And although this is such the extremely high levels of humility, by remembering this again and again and hearing these examples, we can again remind ourselves of where we need to go. And thus, when we see Sanatana Goswami on the altar, when we see Srila Prabhupada during Guru Puja, when we hear of their pastimes, of how humble they are, we should similarly not only see Krishna, who's all the way high on the altar, as a great, but we should also see our acharyas as extremely high people. And thus, in a humble way, then we can go in that mood and say, okay, what should I do for you? And then finally, Atmi Nivedanam, Sanatana Goswami, he gave everything up for Mahaprabhu. He even gave up the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu told the God of Vrindavan to write these books and excavate the lost pastime places of Radha and Krishna. I don't know how many of us, you know, feel comfortable if even our guru tells us, you know, go away and do this, you know. I remember Brijesh was traveling with Jadhveta Maharaj, and Jadhveta Maharaj said, just go to, where did he go? Egypt. He said, go to Egypt. And Brijesh was supposed to be with Maharaj, and Brijesh was like, okay, fine. So he went to Egypt. But, you know, how many people can just leave? And that's the spiritual master. And what to speak of the Supreme Person of Godhead. You're with him. You gave up all your positions to be with him. And then he says, go. So Atmi Nivedanam is there. Now, to bring it back to Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is an extremely powerful personality, because through the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, which I think is the next verse, so I won't go into this too much, but by the kripa of the Mahabharat, Prahlad Maharaj, he was able to, this seed of devotion that had been given to him wasn't there, because it's described in one lecture I heard about Bali Maharaj's pastimes, is that he was a religious, pious demon. Interesting, but that's how they were before. They always used to practice according to the Vedic codes. And all of a sudden, when it came to that point of where the two steps had been taken by Vamanadev and had crossed and had conquered everything, then all of a sudden that kripa just blossomed, because he took on that humble position, because he understood, wow, Vamanadev's so great. And due to that humility, that seed of devotion, pure seed from Prahlad, just sprouted and became beautiful, and thus he could offer so many nice prayers. Lastly, I just want to kind of summarize before we open it up for some questions, is here, I just want to highlight again the power of Bali Maharaj's surrender, how he can accept the mercy. I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel grieved. Something excellent I heard in a lecture by Gaur Govinda Swami. He said, he's quite a powerful speaker, and he said, how many of us would feel ashamed if you get bullied or harassed in a dark alleyway corner? You know, it's bad, but you know, not, at least no one found out. And then he said, but what if your Guru Maharaj insults you in front of an assembly of devotees, even just one word? Oh, it's so hard to tolerate, it's so difficult. But Mahaprabhu, in the last verse of Shikshastakam, he says, even if you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, or even if you embrace me, so whether there's happiness or distress in devotional service, you're my Lord unconditionally. And so this unconditional love can only be acquired if we follow the previous verses of Shikshastakam, especially Trinada Pisunichino. Another very inspiring thing that has penetrated my heart and stayed in my thick mind is Ayendra Prabhu, due to his mercy. We just celebrated his birthday, Vyas Puja, 2 days ago. And he said in one of his post-Kirtan talks, he said, he was talking about Yashoda Damodar, and he was saying, what is true humility? So Yashoda Damodar, two fingers too short, mercy and endeavor. And he said how Mother Yashoda was trying to endeavor to get all this rope to bind Krishna, but always two fingers too short. And then how did she actually bind Krishna? How did she become successful? Anyone remember? Govinda Prabhu? Endeavor. But she was endeavoring. She got all that rope. But then how did she finally tie him up? It is endeavor. It's just something a bit, some detail. She was crying, yeah. But before she was crying, but she did something else. Rasaparayana Prabhu? She engaged everyone else, yeah. So she went to the neighborhood ladies and she asked, can I have some rope? Can I have some rope? Still, and then when she carried on engaging her friends in her service to bind her Krishna, at one point, Ayendra Prabhu says, how much does extra have to be in order for extra to be extra? And at one point then she was sweating, and then Krishna said, okay, my mother's, you know, exhausted herself. But Krishna wanted to show, even before Mahaprabhu came down, 5,000 years ago, there was hints that Sankirtan was the way to bind Krishna, of engaging others, or asking for the help of others in our service to please Krishna. And he said, Krishna had humbled him because he'd broken his voice, so he couldn't sing 10-hour shifts anymore. But, you know, he could only, he could sing, but as in, you know, his voice was tired. And he said, real humility means that you understand that you can't please Krishna by yourself, and that you need the help of others. And I thought that this was very inspiring and very practical, because Prabhupada has, you know, showed us the way, and his main preaching methods that will, according to Jayadvaita Maharaj, will not go out of date, will always be Harinama book distribution. Obviously things will adapt as well, but going out and giving the mercy in its raw form, and we can see how we need the help of others when we go to do this, be it book distribution, Harinam, cooking Raj Bhog, whatever it may be, we need help. So I'd just like to finish with a little note on Lord Ram, as Ram Navami is appearing, is coming up this week. And Nandan Prabhu has asked me to say something. So in the Chaitanya, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, There's a quote from the Ramayana where Vibhishan is interacting and exchanging with Lord Ram. And Lord Ram says to Vibhishan this beautiful verse in relationship to surrender. It says, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." Very nicely encapsulates all of Sharanagati, you know, that one has to take that humble position and say, okay, I'm yours. And that Krishna will maintain us and protect us, or Lord Ram here, will protect us and maintain us, and then you'll get the full surrender and the show of Lord Ram. So if we can just repeat this all as a community, so Sankirtan here. My dear Lord, from this day I am yours. Shri Ram Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So with this, I'll be brave here and open it out to some questions, corrections, and comments. Hare Krishna.